are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Morning, African world. Good morning, brothers and sisters. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is Wednesday, hump day. I know you're going to get over that hump and do all the things you have to do. And I hope that you get a chance to do all the things you have to do, should do, must do, can do, will and do, and want to do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you'll get it done anyway. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to its archives at timeforanawakening.com. That's part of the Time for an Awakening Media. Timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on and then follow, and then the programs are dated and titled. So check them out if you can't listen live. And more importantly, tell others. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm here, but every Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. every Monday and Wednesday. Immediately following this program, the Black People Matrix. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. It was good to hear him last night. And all the callers that called in, they're missing him. I know that's right, because I know I did too. So it was great to hear Dr. Rogers. And I hope that he continues his success. On tonight, Wednesday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Revive with Sister POC. Thursday, from 7 p.m. until Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., not me, Sister POC, and her program, Revive, on Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American, African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, if you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. So those products are right there for you to pick up. You don't have to order them online if you don't want to. You can go pick them up right now and utilize that at the Greenbrier Mall. So check out WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tahimba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He is going to Ghana May this month, the 22nd through June 4th. Only $3,700. Get a chance to see him many sites.
And of course, he has two other trips this year, November 22nd through December 2nd, Johannesburg, South Africa, as well as Cape Town. And then at the end of the month of December, December 24th through January 4th, 2020, back to Ghana. If you want to check out photos of some of these trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of some of these trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Get all the stuff that you need at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, open Saturday, Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3. And even have a Holocaust, African Holocaust Museum. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. The Shrine of Black Madonna is located in the West End, and they have clothing, furniture, artwork, books, red, black, and green shoes, all kinds of stuff, everything you need at the Shrine of Black Madonna. They also have a history program, a history class, every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Know thyself. Every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. If you can't make the class but you want the information, you can purchase the multimedia library. The multimedia library is extensive. Extensive. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. Check that out. Another bookstore is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Right now, right there by We Buy Black, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check them out. And if they don't have the book you have that you're looking for, rather, you can rest assured that she will get it for you. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu. 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. On May 24th, Friday, May 24th, I will be doing our Journey to Historical Greatness presentation at 7 p.m. at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Come on out. It's a very interesting presentation. And I hope if you have some children, please bring them to 6984 Main Street, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, right off of I-20. When you get off of I-20, which is heading east, you want to head north onto Main Street. On the left-hand side will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Friday, May 24th at 7 p.m. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, cooperative economics. Or no, as we like to say, family-centered economics, Us Lifting Us. The radio broadcast, the Thursday night broadcast, is every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And that is the radio broadcast for Us Lifting Us. And, of course, it is a co-op, and we pull our monies together, and we created Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu is located 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. It is open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we sell coffee. We have delicious coffees, teas, loose teas, smoothies, energy drinks. We have what you need, wraps and salads and all kinds of good stuff for you at the Cafe Ulu. Check us out. Check us out online. Become a member. Buy stuff. Support Cafe Ulu. Another product we promote is Ambrosia, Brother Nick Novak Young's Vitality Drink. And he also has a new product coming out. We'll talk about that at a time. We'll get him on the line and talk about his new product. So, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Please make your contributions, check money orders to Akabin Institute. Send them in the mail, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But if you want to do PayPal or Cash App, $, and then YAH, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, or paypal.me/Ackerman Village. Those are the ways that you can make a contribution to the Ackerman Institute. The Complementarity Conference is coming up at the end of this month on Friday, and with a reception, and on Saturday, June 1st, the program, either $20 an individual or $35 a couple, and it's going to be at Sweet Spot on Metropolitan Parkway, right off of Abernathy Boulevard in the West End, right off there. So I'll get that information to you. This Saturday, May 11th, and it is a free meet and greet book signing on Friday, the 10th at 7:30 at Wadada's Health Center, Health Market, and Juice Bar. Wadada's Health Market and Juice Bar, 878 Abernathy Boulevard, and it's in the West End as well, right across the street from the West End Mall, right across the street. And on Saturday is the program with Dr. Layla Africa, the State of Black Health in America, the 2019 seminar, Saturday. So it's a two-day event, and $30 in advance and $40 at the door. It's a very serious event, brothers and sisters, with great information. You know Dr. Layla Africa is a legend, along with Dr. Sabi. He is the, now since Dr. Sabi has been assassinated, and I say that seriously, you know, we have Dr. Layla Africa, who should be protected and supported. In Ye Say Sim, the daily revolutionary thoughts today, May 8th, but we're going to read yesterday's, May 7th. May 7th, if exposure to information is to remain a prominent influence on values, and if values are in turn to influence behavior, then manipulating the type, amount, and quality of information our children receive will help them to develop a value system that is more consistent with their African culture. Joseph White and Thomas Payam. Our children are repeatedly told by Western media that those it has significantly influenced in its favor to be themselves. But the definition of self is confined to the insane prescriptions of Eurocentric individualism. How can those who know nothing but this reality and its selfish, immoral, aggressive definition of personality becoming anything other than extreme individualists who value nothing above a self-centered self if they follow the dictates of being themselves? If they are to become anything other than Urugu's silly shadows, then they must be explicitly and consistently exposed to the values of the African way so that they see this path as viable, desirable, logical choice for themselves as warriors in training. They must be taught of the incompatibility of African and European culture and society and given their role in helping to make an African world that stands outside that fabricated reality. Affirm, because it is not our children's duty to suffer the insane. My mission is to ensure that they do not have to. Affirm, because it is not our children's duty to suffer the insane. My mission is to ensure that they do not have to. It is our responsibility, brothers and sisters. When we talk about our children, it is because many of us have abdicated our responsibility to educate and instill these values, these African core principles, principles of Ma'at, principles of the Nguza Saba, principles of what is common and should be common amongst our people. But because we don't have our right minds and we think individualistically, remember, individualism is a European Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African must. It is an imperative. May 8th. Any culture that accepts the thoughts of another culture automatically becomes the captive of that other culture. They are captivated. They are slaves to that other culture. Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Bobby Wright, define menticide as a form of insanity that leaves many of us thinking out of the mind of the European as if it were our own. It is the state of being psychologically brain dead and having one's thoughts replaced with alien ones. Menticide means to kill the mental process, to kill one's normal thought process, essentially to kill one's own mind. In that there is still a thought process at work. Menticide also means that an artificial alien collection of thoughts and ways of thinking have replaced with what has been altogether suppressed or removed. Bobby Wright, of course, was significantly referring to Africans under the domination of global Caucasian, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. He explained that menticide is a genocidal strategy which turns a people against themselves and its service to those who are working to destroy them. Because they have been thoroughly convinced that their destroyers love and appreciate is critical to their humanity in this reality, as well as their salvation in the next. They seek to make alliances with their destroyers in order to be close enough to prove themselves worthy of this elusive love and therefore to be released from the pain they give. They come to see their enemy as having the preeminence of power and as having been anointed with a God-given superiority. Those vanquished individuals see each other as enemies, while their true enemy is looked upon as their ultimate friend. Affirmed, only I rule my mind. Affirmed, only I rule my mind. Can't say enough about the work of Dr. Bobby Wright and the menticidal attack on the minds of our people. Can't say enough. You know, we are at war. We have been warred upon. We are at war for the minds of our people. It is about the mind. And if we do not, if we do not capture the minds of our young people, particularly some of you older individuals, y'all already said, just like the brother told me, listen, man, this is my thing. I don't want you trying to influence me. I don't want you trying to change my mind. I don't want you trying to change my perspective. I don't want you trying to wake me to. I don't want to be woke. Because I'd rather believe than find out that it's not true. Than to not believe than find out that it is true. You dispute facts. You don't understand. With myths, you were forced to believe. The mindset. This mindset keeps you in captivity. Keeps you in captivity. Kwame Nkrumah, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Look, and I say these because when stuff like Dr. Bobby Wright, Kwame Nkrumah, when they said those decades ago, 30, 40, 50 years. And today we see the ramifications of not heeding the word of those wise ancestors. We see the mental destruction. You know, that mental destruction is real. I went on Facebook. You know, when you're on Facebook, sometimes you see something and you save it. So I've saved a number of things. And so sometime periodically, in fact, I was trying to get a guest but didn't. It fell through. And so I'll continue to try to do it, especially for Wednesday's program. And even Ronnie's, but or any other day I can get a guest. But downloaded a couple of those ones I felt were very pertinent and needed to be brought to the fore. I also went on Atlanta Black Star, and I saw this one. It's new, and of course it deals with the false equivalent, a dangerous false equivalent. Facebook's ban of Minister Farrakhan highlights the misunderstanding of American rage. It's by David Love, one of the contributors to Atlanta Black Star. Still one of my favorite sources for information. The obligatory media, social media giant Facebook has taken steps to purge what they regard as dangerous, high-profile individuals from their platform. While the figures banned from Facebook include Caucasian radicals, right-wing extremists, and anti-Semites, the tech company also banned the Nation of Islam leader, Minister Louis Farrakhan, for statements he made regarding the Jewish community. Removing Minister Farrakhan's have prompted voices in the American African community to accuse Facebook of establishing a false equivalent between Caucasian extremism and the rage of those African people who fight against Caucasian extremism. Among those targeted by Facebook, in addition to Minister Louis Farrakhan, are right-wing conspiratory theorist Alex Jones, Caucasian nationalist media figures Milo Yiannopoulos, Laura Loomer, Paul Joseph Watson, and anti-Semitic congressional candidate Paul Nealon. We've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology, Facebook said in a statement, arguing the platform bans dangerous individuals and organizations that employ violence or through their ideological attack people based on culture, religion, ethnicity, and sexuality. The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive, and it is what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today. Facebook, which also owns Instagram, has faced criticism for including Mr. Farrakhan among their list of dangerous and violent right-wing hate mongers. Among his statements that are at issue, Farrakhan reportedly called Judaism a gutter religion, referring to the satanic Jew and Jews' grip on the media. And he said, "The powerful Jews are my enemy. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm anti-termite." The decision to ban the Nation of Islam leader would seem to provide Facebook cover for accusations that the platform singled out far-right personalities. Snoop Dogg took to Facebook and to Instagram to express his disapproval. Facebook and Instagram just banned the Minister Farrakhan. "I want to know for what," Snoop said. "All he ever did was tell the truth. And if we ban y'all, what if we start?" "And what if we start arguing with y'all, Facebook and Instagram? I stand with him. Ban me. Ban me, man. Ban me, because I'm going to keep posting this shit, fuck y'all, who got a problem with it." Kind of went through that Snoop Dogg right there. Early this year, Women's March organizer Tamika Mallory refused to condemn Minister Farrakhan and defended her attendance at the annual Nation of Islam's Saviors Day event. "I didn't expect my presence at Saviors Day to lead anyone to question my beliefs, especially considering that I've been going to this event regularly for 30 years. I first met with my parents when I was just a little girl. I first went with my parents when I was a little girl and would begin attending on my own after my son's father was murdered nearly 17 years ago. In that most difficult period of my life, it was the women of the Nation of Islam who supported me, and I have always helped them close to my heart for that reason." The Nation of Islam and Mr. Farrakhan are known for the historic 1995 Million Man March, which was the largest gathering of American African men in the nation, and for social and educational programs in the community, such as the Prison Reform Ministry, services for formerly incarcerated and private security companies that respect the American African community and keep it safe. The Nation of Islam is engaged with the hip-hop community, and Mr. Farrakhan spoke at Nipsey Hussle's funeral. American African leadership, such as the Congressional Black Caucus and President Obama, have been called upon to repudiate Mr. Farrakhan, which is the first president, which was the first American African president, did when he was a candidate for the nation's highest offer. Yes, he did repudiate. And he did. He also repudiated the pastor, Jeremiah Wright. Elijah is here. Muslims in the Nation of Islam aren't allowed to own weapons of any kind. The Nation of Islam has never committed a terrorist act of any kind. Why has Facebook and Instagram labeled Mr. Farrakhan dangerous and violent? Where is the proof? Temple professor and media commentator Mark Lamont Hill, Temple University professor, who was removed as a CNN contributor for making statements in solidarity with the Palestinian people, came under fire for having ties to Minister Farrakhan. I ain't got the luxury of throwing people who love us away, Hill said, rejecting this weird litmus test that he claims is only applied to Farrakhan and the notion that American African figures must repudiate the minister to remain powerful and influential. For some reason, if you meet with Mr. Farrakhan and you don't throw him away wholesale, then you're castigated in a way that doesn't happen with anybody else, Hill said. I worked on Fox News for many years. No one ever said, why are you meeting? Why are you sitting with Bill O'Reilly? Why are you sitting with Sean Hannity? Why are you sitting with Ann Coulter? No one ever said that. The Temple professor asked why American African leaders must religiously denounce Farrakhan in order to sustain a position, adding that Minister Farrakhan is his brother, and the two do not agree on it, and the two do not agree on some issues. The focus in Caucasian-dominated conservative media on American African leaders such as Minister Farrakhan, regard by a perennial boogeyman, and the scapegoating of Representative Ilhan Omar comes amid a problem of Caucasian supremacist terrorism and domestic terror attacks on American African churches, mosques, and synagogues. Singling out American African voices such as Minister Farrakhan for statements he makes in the fight against European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege may allow society to lose sight of the problem of Caucasian extremism. This is what Oliver Willis said. Nobody cares about Farrakhan except righties who need a boogeyman and mainstream reporters who feel squirmish in reporting the fact that the Republican president enables and supports Nazis and anti-Semites, and there's no left-wing equivalent. Chuck D. The banning of Mr. Farrakhan from Instagram and Facebook was disgusting. USA has so much past mud in its engine. None of you want to bitch about it coming up on the flaps. You need to take a survey of how American African folk really feel about using your bull social media as a hanging tool. Nyland Burton, who is American African Jew and has spoken out against Farrakhan's statement, nevertheless wrote in the foreword that Caucasian Jews, European Jews, must stop weaponizing Farrakhan against American African Jews. Burton noted the insane rage that Caucasian Jews have been when discussing Farrakhan and the implied anti-blackness, while little attention is paid, she argues, to to Caucasian racist politicians who control the three branches of government, unlike Farrakhan, have the power to oppress European Jews. Meanwhile, anti-Semitic American politicians who actually have power, like Congressman Steve King, receive a negligible amount of coverage in comparison. Caucasian racists literally control all three branches of government at the moment, but American African people still bear a large brunt of the blame for modern anti-Semitism. And the reason why they blame a lot is because of Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's one of the main reasons. But the other reason is, let me finish this and I'll say that when I come to it. And while nothing justifies anti-Semitism, you simply cannot separate conversations about American African anti-Semitism from the fact that many American Africans have directly experienced oppression from European Jews. I repeat, many American African people have directly experienced oppression from European Jews. You can express anger and disappointment at the bigotry of Hebrew Israelites, but you have to acknowledge that many people are drawn to that movement after being denied the opportunity to convert into Caucasian Jewish congregations. Is that really so the brothers and sisters couldn't, you know, because the crackers gonna do what the crackers gonna do. So then they come and say, well, we want to be Hebrews too, so we're gonna call ourselves the Black Hebrew Israelites, because y'all can't let us in y'all synagogues. Burton said that while Caucasian anti-Semites hate Jews and want power, American African anti-Semites are motivated by anger over gentrification, police brutality, and enslavement. Burton's words echo the nuance of James Baldwin, who wrote, in an American context, the most ironical thing about Negro anti-Semitism is that the Negro is really condemning the Jew for having become an American white man. Rabbi Capers Fanny, who leads Chicago Beth Shalom, one of the nation's oldest American African synagogue, and is the cousin of Michelle Obama, has had interfaith dialogue with Farrakhan, was upset that the minister called Judaism a gutter religion, and considers him a friend. I don't agree with everything the man says or thinks, Finney told the New York Times in 2009. I'm a Jew, after all, but you need to talk. Meanwhile, the suspension of Minister Farrakhan's account, meanwhile, the suspension of Minister Farrakhan's account, which had over 1.1 million followers and 996 likes, comes as Facebook makes decisions regarding racism and American African people, apparently in the absence of American African people, who are among their most ferocious users. Facebook is suspending the accounts of American African people for talking about racism, for talking about Caucasian people, or sharing information about racist incidents. Further, the company has faced internal criticism over its treatment of American African users and employees. A American African people problem in a company whose American African staff is a mere 4% of the total, and Twitter refuses to wholesale ban Caucasian nationals because doing so would mean suspending the accounts of some Republican politicians. Yeah. So, the dangerous false equivalent. Facebook's ban on Minister Farrakhan. And as you can see, he brings out what we have been facing. I was watching Real Time Bill Maher this past weekend. I can't remember Bakari somebody who was a real Negro, because he was condemning Minister Farrakhan too. On the panel, he was in the middle, but to his right was a Caucasian journalist who is a European Jew. And it seems like from what I was hearing from him, damn near anything you say, if it ain't right by his ears, is anti-Semitic. Let's come to understand what Semitic means. Semitic means half. Semite. Half. It's just like in the tournament. You have the quarterfinals. The NBA finals happening right now. Right now you're in the quarterfinals. Then the conference finals will be the semifinals, and then the finals, the NBA finals. Just like college basketball. The Final Four is the semifinal. Semi meaning half. Semi. Half what? Half European? Half African? Half Arab? Half African? The, one of the halves up in that is African. And of course, the European Jews who were late converts to Judaism genetically have no connection to the land they stole, which they now call Israel, who have no genetic connection to the Hebrews of ancient times. And many of those things that were said and written are fabrications, lies. So clearly, Minister Farrakhan's situation is because of anti-Semitism. The others, the other Caucasians, they're threats. They're threats to society, threats to other people. They're clear. And if they could, they would do bodily harm or eradicate or eliminate who they rail against. Farrakhan doesn't call for the killing of anybody. The Nation of Islam, just like other, have not done a damn thing to anybody, but they will defend themselves. They will defend, unlike the former or present so-called civil rights organizations who've taken up the mantle of peaceful, nonviolent demonstration and protest, working on hopefully what they believe is the moral sensibilities of who they're marching against, who they're protesting against, who they're trying to get to see that what they have done is wrong to them. But it never happens, does it? And it never will. Because you are appealing to a people who are amoral. And part of that group of people is European Jews. The same people who are talking about European Jews, the so-called right-wing racists, anti-Semites, are also defenders. Also helped set up European Jews to take Palestine. And so now Palestine or Israel is a main piece. In fact, we need to look at that of why they support Israel so tough. You know, let me see. I think I got one there. Why they support Israel? Because, you know, the thinking should be, why did the United States give so much money to Israel? Two countries just signed a new military aid deal, the biggest pledge of its kind in American history. It may seem inevitable, but the record-setting moment is also rife with irony. Also, too, if you remember, they were pushing forth a resolution that you, as an American citizen, if that's what you call yourself, cannot call for a boycott of Israel. You cannot say derogatory things or anti-Semitic things. You will be fined and possibly imprisoned. I hope some of you remember that. If you don't, check it out. It happened in the middle of last year, towards the latter part of last year. The United States and Israel have made it official. Two countries signed a new 10-year military assistance deal on Wednesday, representing the single largest pledge of its kind in American history. The pact, laid out in a memorandum of understanding, will be worth $38 billion over the course of a decade, an increase of roughly 27% on the money pledged in the last agreement, which was signed in 2007. The diplomatic and military alliance between the two countries is longstanding. Even prior to this week, Israel was, according to the Congressional Research Service, the largest cumulative recipient of U.S. foreign aid assistance since World War II. In many ways, Wednesday, the deal seemed predestined. Yet it is also ironic. Barack Obama had a notoriously cold relationship with Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu. As my colleague Jeff Goldberg wrote in the Atlantic April cover story, Obama has long believed that Netanyahu could bring about a two-nation solution to the Israel-Palestinian conflict that would protect Israel's status as a Jewish majority democracy, but it is too fearful and politically paralyzed to do so. Nevertheless, Obama will leave office having outpledged all of his predecessors in military support to the country. Let me say that again. Even though Obama had this perception, and of course you know Netanyahu did not like Obama, he dissed Obama, he even came to the States. I mean, this is the Netanyahu, which I hate with a passion. And there's some people, brothers and sisters, I see them and I want to punch their ass in the face. I'm not a violent man. I really am not. But some of the things that you see so much and you say, man, it's just like when you're watching something on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and there's a situation where a cop is getting his ass whooped, and you be cheering for whoever's whooping that cop's ass, don't you? I know I do. Because I get mad as hell when I see cops beating up sisters and brothers, especially our young, slamming their face on the concrete. And so, but Obama, even though he was dissed, he still, by leaving office, outpledged all his predecessors in military support. All the other cracker presidents, he outpledged them. Aid to Israel is among the only static issue of this U.S. election season. While the Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has made somewhat mixed statements on the Israel-Palestine conflict, he has also made strongly worded positions to strengthen the relationship between the United States and Israel. For her part, the Democratic nominee has consistently touted her support for Israel, including her time as Secretary of State. This was written September 15. This is Emma Green, September 15, 2016. As you can see, since his presidency, he did what many people would not have done, and he did it. He said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, not Tel Aviv. Jerusalem, which of course has caused a huge conflict. He also said whatever territory the European Jews take, it is theirs. So the Golan Heights, it's theirs. I say it, the president of the United Snakes. Voters, however, have more mixed views of this kind of support. While more than 60% of Americans were more sympathetic to Israel than the Palestinians in a 2016 Gallup poll, sympathies differed along partisan lines, with around half of the Democrats being more sympathetic to Israel versus nearly 80% of Republicans. In a separate Brookings poll, roughly half of Democrats responded said Israel has too much influence on the United States government. Boycotts, divest, and sanction movements, which call on organizations in the United States and abroad to cut their financial ties with Israel, have long been popular on college campuses. Although somewhat marginal, this year, however, they got a boost from Black Lives Matter movement, which included statements against Israel's treatment of Palestinians in its recently released policy platform. In general, young Americans are far less sympathetic toward Israel than their older peers. 2014 Gallup poll found that only half of those aged 18 to 34 favor Israel in the Israel-Palestinian conflict, compared with 58% of 35 to 55-year-olds and 74% for those who are older, 55 and older. Bernie Sanders, who is extremely popular among young during the Democratic primary, controversially criticized Israel, winning applause and cheers from the audience at one debate for saying, "If we pursue justice and peace, we are going to have to say that Netanyahu is not on the right side, not right at all." All of this creates an odd backdrop for a historic military spending deal. No matter how bad the relationship between the two countries' top leaders, no matter who gets elected to the White House, no matter how loudly some voices their opposition to, or how changed the underlying ideological debate, the United States has pragmatic reasons for providing the large sums of money for Israeli military. They are straightforward explanations for why this particular deal got done. Politically, the spending package was partly a response to the nuclear deal the United States and other world powers finalized with Iran in July of last year, and which Obama hailed as a cutting off Iran's pathway to nuclear weapons for more than a decade. Netanyahu has harshly criticized and critical of that agreement, which he called a historic mistake that would erase sanctions on Iran while leaving it with the ability to one day get the bomb. Even with the deal in place and taking the nuclear weapon capability of Iran off the table at the least for the next 10 to 15 years, there are still considerable destabilizing activities the Iranians are pursuing in the region that are not consistent with U.S. or Israel interests or objectives, says Melissa Dalton, a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. The new money is an attempt to pacify Israel's concerns about continued threats from Iran, she added. The money is also an attempt to satisfy congressional Republicans. The Obama administration reportedly asked Netanyahu to get Lindsey Graham, the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Appropriations Committee, to agree to the deal. After it was signed, though, Graham released a statement indicating that Congress would not necessarily adhere to the predetermined funding levels. "I find it odd that the memorandum only allocates $500 million for missile defense starting in 2018, he wrote, especially given provocative Iranian behavior and improved Iranian missile technology. While this may be the USA's biggest ever military aid deal, the GOP has pushed for even greater spending. Defenders of the deal would say it's necessary. Dalton described the uptick in spending as a natural extension of the long-standing relationship between the United States and Israel, as well as its close ties between these countries and their people. She described the fraught neighborhood surrounding Israel, war-torn Syria to the northeast, Hezbollah-influenced Lebanon to the north, and an Islamic insurgency in Egypt, Sinai to the south, all of which help explain the historically high promise of $5 billion in missile funding over the next 10 years. As National Security Advisor Susan Rice said at the signing ceremony for the deal, this memorandum of understanding is not just good for Israel, it's good for the United States. Our security is linked. When allies and our partners like Israel are more secure, the United States is more secure. And they wanted to secure that region. The deal also directs more money back to the United States. It eliminates a provision in the previous aid agreement that allowed Israel to spend 26% of its foreign military financing on weaponry and other resources within Israel rather than in the United States, a provision that intended to help Israel build its own defense industry. Now that Israel's defense industry has developed, Dalton said that money will go toward purchases benefiting the Defense Department in the United States. While the United States' new memorandum of understanding with Israel is historic in its own right, it's most remarkable in its apparent inevitability. It is a foreign policy move seemingly immune to electoral politics around it. At the end of the day, we're electing people to make judgments based on the information and advice that we receive. One of the inputs of that process certainly is popular opinion, but I do not think it should be the sole determinant of foreign policy. It is own way, in its own way. That's a good explanation of why America's aid to Israel so big. Military spending does not go up or down in direct relationship to voters or even the news cycles. In this case, it was a record set if it were not an unstoppable trend. The trend, of course, is military spending consistently going up. Military spending constantly going up. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we have more discussion, so you hang on. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Bricks here built from the concrete, baby. You don't get no better than this.
Some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid, and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter, I know, no, no. Whatever comes our way, you know, no. You and me, we gon' stay together.
Just wanna give you, give make you love to you,
love to
take
you.
Put you on a rocket fly, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. Also here on Time for an Awakening Media, immediately following my program on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 on Mondays from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesday, 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive, once again, with Sister PLC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday night, 7 p.m., Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, tell you it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I ain't going to shift gears, but I just want to probably go a little someplace different. Like I said, what I've done is, you know, I've saved these things out of Facebook. And so there's a lot of good stuff, you know. Last one I saved was post-apartheid. South Africa is the world's most unequal country. Oh, really? Really? Would define lines of separation between a great neighborhood, Caucasians, and a rundown, poor neighborhood, Africans. We'll deal with that another day. One of the things that I also took out of there was a nice piece from Mama Marimba. Baba Baruti posted it. This is Mama Marimba Ani. Remember, we just had Boxing Tsum Tsum, which is African spiritual warfare. Outstanding job done by those brothers and sisters. Knowing what we want gives us a goal. The goal of world African sovereignty is powerful. It is powerful because it is about the manifestation of absolute power. We do not want a piece of the pie. We want the whole damn thing because it is ours. The objective of world African sovereignty does not allow us to settle for either a piece, like a piece of pie, or a false piece. And we all know what that is. Because that's what it's been all the time when they talk about peace. World African sovereignty is not about what they have told us to want. It's not about equality or better job. It's not about more money, the illusion of safety, a scholarship, a student loan, a PhD, an honorable discharge or a dishonorable discharge, a parole, or a half-black president with whole white loyalties. I'm going to repeat that. It ain't about a half-black president with whole white loyalties. African sovereignty means that we define the terms. We determine our own destiny. We are in charge. African sovereignty. That's right, brothers and sisters. That's right. We determine for ourselves. Let me get this other one in here, and then I'm going to go to the phone lines. What happened to that? What happened to that one? Did I do something wrong? Took me somewhere else. Oh, well, I'll save that for another time. In fact, it was the quote that I've always used as dealing with cognitive dissonance with Frantz Fanon, you know, Frantz Fanon. We got a caller, 646. Good afternoon, caller, 646.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, bro?
Hey, Jay, what do you say, man? How you doing today, dear brother?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to let you know Archie Bunker will be happy today if he knew that the little mutt from over in England has been named Archie.
Really? They named
that little halfway cracker Archie.
Archie? No.
Oh, man, when I said that, I fell to the floor. Archie.
I thought they were going to name him Tyrone.
Archie, instead, listen, this is the funny part. I don't know how true it is. They said he will go by the name Hakeem.
Hakeem.
I named the cracker.
Archie.
I named this little cracker Archie. Lord have mercy.
I tell you, and the constant publication. Well, she had to understand, and I know you do, that the reason why you constantly hear about it is always talked about England and United States because of the symbiotic relationship between the United States is Australia and any other thing that the cracker has had or holds. They are in cahoots. They're in concurrence. You know, the United States, same thing. And so that's why you hear all of this publicity, all this stuff about, and you know, everybody on the news, oh, isn't it? Yeah, shh. I hope that baby's grandmother on the mama side, and you know who she is. I hope that side, that melanin kicks in big time. Although he's seven positions away from the crown, from the throne, and there's obviously something cataclysmic or a catastrophe would have to happen. Like they was all on the plane and they all died, but his ass was back in England, you know, or wherever. And so now he's up for the throne. Something will happen that ain't gonna happen, especially if he's.
Just imagine if he do show the overflux of darkness. Oh man, I don't know what to say, man.
That
it will be unbelievable. But the name alone,
Archie.
The name alone, Archie. What the F do Archie mean? When I hear the name Archie, I think about the comic book and
right. Archie and Veronica and Jughead. Yeah.
Or maybe Archie Men. Archie Manning, you know, you could put in it. You know? But other than that, I'm trying to think. What are the Archies?
Archie Bell and the Drells. Tighten up, baby.
I don't be honest with you. I like Archie Bell and the Drells, but that don't come to mind, bro. First thing that came to mind was Archie Bunker.
I know. And you're right. I honestly could say
Archie Bunker was one of my favorite TV characters, man. I used to love the way he would just show himself.
Yeah.
To be who he really was, and how Lionel and Mike would just tear him.
What's interesting about that, when Norman Lear created that, he wanted to show the ignorance of Caucasians who had that kind of mentality. And I think it worked in reverse because many people believed and liked Archie. They liked the fact that he was against race mixing. He was against other groups. He was for, just like any other cracker, for the cracker, you know. In fact, I venture to say, if you did Family Feud, cooning and buffooning all the time, you know what I'm talking about on Family Feud. Steve Harvey. If he said the top eight answers on the board, when you hear the word Archie, what you think of? I bet you the number one answer is Archie Bunker. The number one answer by far. And that, you know, I don't give a damn how many other lines it might be. They may never get Archie Bell and the Drells. But you know, if they mention the word Archie, they're definitely Archie and Veronica and Jughead in the comic books. You know.
Yeah.
But they will get Archie Bunker. And that mentality would be number one, no doubt about it.
Archie was a trip, man. I used to like the way George Jefferson would deal with him. But the best one out of all of them to me was the time that Sammy Davis Jr. came on.
Right.
That was a real good one.
Yeah.
You know, and then Lionel used to bust him up pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the mentality of Archie was basically the mentality of the white man.
Exactly. And that is today. That is today. So the mentality that he has been ongoing. An attitude of superiority, an attitude that what is mine is mine, and what is yours is mine. The attitude that I can do whatever the hell I want to do when I want to do it. Archie Bunker displayed. Don't you see Trump has Archie Bunker in the White House? Don't you see that? The ignorance, the stupidity.
Nah. He's a gangster in the White House. The guy in the White House is a gangster.
He's a gangster.
Trump in America. Yeah. Trump in America like no other, man. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, man. The character in the White House, I'm surprised they ain't got rid of him yet, man. Because the damage that he's doing and the disrespect to the office, you know, is wild, man. I mean, if they could do what they did to Kennedy, why can't they do what they got to do to him? I mean, because he's not making the country no better. If anything, he's destroying the country, and there's a possibility that he may even lead the country into a race war, as quiet as kept.
Well, you know, because of the Republican Party is all in behind him. And once his ass is over, he would have destroyed.
I don't know if they're really all behind him. I don't think they're all behind him. I think what they want is they want to be able to stay in power.
Right.
And with him being in office.
That's why they're at this moment.
That's a better chance of them staying in power.
Right.
But I don't think they're all behind him.
Well, let me say it this way, Jay. The appearance that they're all behind him. Because they know, number one, they're not going to impeach him because that has to go through the Senate. The only thing that the Democrats have hold of is Congress. They don't have the judicial system on a state, regional, and local level, or definitely don't have it nationally. The judicial system, Supreme Court, is 5-4. And it's almost like if anything comes up that we don't like us five, you four don't even have to damn it vote because you're going to lose.
That's the way it's playing out by him suing, you know, to not release his taxes and all
right.
that.
Right.
And it seems like he done put a serious, serious con on the American public, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's crazy, B. One would think like something like this would not happen, but then again, you gotta ask yourself and realize the American people are racist and gullible and stupid as they come. In all truthfulness, American, especially that European, is a dumbass.
Well, the bottom line is this. The European has taken a position and has been in that position for a number of centuries now. And because of the technology, the ability to mess up your mind and the ability to blow the planet up. And in fact, they are the number one destroyers. When we talk about climate change and species dying off and possible human beings dying off, and the fact that they've engaged in all kinds of ways to eliminate humanity through all kinds manipulating the science. They got all kind of ways to sterilize you. I read recently about Israel, the African women. In Israel, the ones that they brought there or the ones they immigrated to, they are sterilizing them, let alone kicking them out of the country, but making sure they sterilize them. The other thing about Caucasians, the fact that their numbers are dwindling, what they're doing, of course, is lightening up those who have the ability to make children.
Oh, yeah, no question. Because the one thing about the Shurugu is... he has no problem mixed breeding because of the simple fact he know that the darker you is going to be loyal to his European crazy, sick devil ass. And that's what we fear as a people not to realize. If you have a child with a Yorugu, your loyalty to African people never supersedes that loyalty to that Yorugu. If it did, we would not be in the position that we're in today.
That's true.
That's just something we don't want to admit to.
That's true.
So yeah. I know that they have no fear of what Chuck D talks about and Chuck D says.
Right, fear of a black planet.
The rise of the black planet.
Right, fear of a black
because
planet.
Because the reality is they control our mental. They control how we interact on every level as a people. So it's like my boy, and like I say, the cracker got Negroes on remote control. That's all. That plain and simple. Oh, yeah. They got us on remote control.
Well, let me take this other. Yeah, let me take this other call. Jane, you want to hang on? Please do, okay? Let me take this other call. All right, 602-602. Good afternoon. Hey, Brother Marcus, how are you? How you doing?
All right. Hey, Jay, how you doing, man?
All right.
What's up, Marcus? I'm good, brother. I'm good. As you was talking about that Jew earlier, you see, what he was doing, while he encouraging us to integrate, He's separating, because as you said, the Hebrew Israelites, they wanted to join. And he said, hell no, you ain't going to be a part of us. But I remember when they was attacking Tony Martin back in the
right, day, yeah.
They were on Tony behind.
Yep.
And Tony hit them with that broadside. And then he hit them with that book, The Jewish Onslaught.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But these people have stolen our legacy. Because those diamonds that De Beers and Oppenheimer market down at 48th Street down there, right? Them Jews, Hasidics. I don't know no diamond mines in Israel.
None. Zero. Zilch.
Yeah, so that's coming from Africa. They're in the Congo.
Right.
They're in Sierra Leone.
And they
just digging and... Yes.
And they control diamonds. They control diamonds in the world. They even control the diamonds that even Russia has. They are the number one controllers of diamonds in the world. I ain't saying the number one retailer of diamonds. I don't know. But one thing for sure, when all those diamond companies, Jarrett's and whoever else, they buy diamonds, they're getting them from European Jews.
Yeah, they
got to
get them from the Jews. You know, so these people have been our arch enemy since time immemorial, since back when we were in Egypt, because I saw in that book, Sheikh Anta Diop had that book, Civilization or Barbarism.
Yes.
And you see, they used to call them Hebrews at that time, or Haribo. And he was bringing the goat and the sheep or whatever to the African, and the Africans was giving him the technology, giving him the paper, you see. But when they show it in out from the book, they erase that part. The part where the African is giving, they know that part is omitted.
Right.
They don't show that part, you know. So unless we embrace Marcus Garvey, that is the solution for black people. We've been skirting the issue. And again, even in that case, it was the Jew again that put Garvey in prison. It was a Jewish judge, Judge Julian Mack, a Zionist judge, and a Jewish prosecutor. Because Garvey represented himself. He said, hell no, I don't need none of you. I represent myself. See? And again, Jews again.
Right.
Really. So they are the culprits keeping black people looking here for a solution in America. When they know ain't no solution for us here. Over 400 years we've been here, and we can't work out a human relationship as yet. Please, the powers that be do not want us to work on a relationship. And that's why they moved on Garvey when he got those ships. See, they was letting him talk and everything fine. But once he said, oh, let's get that Black Star Line, they said, hell no. They said, we got to stop him now because with those ships, we could move goods, and we haven't gotten back to that. We don't have a shipping line.
We have nothing.
We have
nothing.
We have
people that can run the ships. We know, I know that. We have marine. We have people. So what is preventing us? The mind.
That's right. Our mind. The only thing that prevents us from doing what we must do and can do for ourselves is our mind. They have put a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand and know that tool, the only way you can release that vice grip, you just cannot pull it apart. There's that knob at the end of the handle where you can turn that knob to release the tension till you can finally open that vice grip and take it off your mind and look at the cracker for who and what they are. And not that you can change them, because there ain't a damn thing you can do or say to change them. But the most important thing is you change yourself. As you use your mind to think about, and the more important, to act on things that will give us independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as African people. It is the only way. It cannot be done here, and they will never give you information. Just like Dr. Clark says, powerful people never give powerless people the information to remove their power. It is not in their interest to do so. That's why
it's... Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Brother Marcus.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I need, you know, your guys' opinion on this. Given where we are now in history and the relationship with Jewish people and black people, where do you think, you see it getting better to fight the system? Or, you know, because back in the 60s, it was like that. The Jews, and it gets... Where is that relationship now at this present time, in your opinion?
Well, Jay, if you want to talk about it, I'll definitely want to talk about it. But if you want to add something to that, Jay, go ahead.
I would say, you asked him what is the relationship between blacks and Jews today?
Yeah, what is the relationship? Do you think it as good as it was in the 60s with Martin Luther King and you know?
No. This, matter of fact, if the truth be told, there is no relationship.
Exactly.
Did you have moved on to solidify their base, which is Israel, and their communities in which cities the majority of them live, and to continue the stronghold on industries that they control, and basically they go on about the business. As far as what they were doing back in the day, like starting the NAACP and Martin Luther King and all of that, that was basically to solidify their position. That wasn't to help us. That was to keep certain people off of their back and to do what all, it seems, other groups did, was to be a part of the movement, put themselves in the position to benefit from the laws, and then tell black people to kiss their ass and go on about their business. That's why, at this present time, every other ethnic group basically dominates black people. That's why, you know, when you talk about voters' rights, civil rights, and all that other BS, that's something for blacks. You know what I mean? To even show you how gangster and deep it is, the Freak Nation gave Mafia Twisted Sister, Funky Man, they used it to get into a position to now they kicking us in the ass. So, I mean, no, brother, there's no relationship. And there was never, I believe, a sincere relationship. But the white man were able to use us to gain for their benefit and then cast us aside. The Negro is always the only one looking to forge relationships with their enemy and oppressor. That's because we sick. You know what I mean? But no, we're not going to do anything at all to call them out. We're not going to do anything to change the paradigm of the equation or nothing. That's why we in the our agenda is always to be in some sort of coalition and twist our enemy than to kill our enemy. So you get what you
what you get. And what, unfortunately, we getting is what we get.
Okay.
But nobody wants to be honest and address it and deal with it and tell the truth about it. So, well, no.
And so, my take on what you're asking, Brother Mark, is back in the day, even then, it was manipulated. Even then, the relationship between us and European Jews, they were the landlord, we were the tenant. They were the store owner, we were the customers. It has always been that. That is the relationship. The fact that there were some Caucasians, excuse me, who were adverse against European Jews, the buffer was us. And they knew that if our push for eliminating laws that would restrict and opening up for fairness, so therefore that's why some European Jews joined groups, paid money. They may not have walked on the line, i.e. like a Schwerner and Goodman did with Cheney in Mississippi to go down there and freedom ride. You know, from a European Jew and American African standpoint, that was huge for the so-called movement at that time. Their death. Because their death, if you can remember, it was during Kennedy's administration. It was televised. Not the death itself, but the reporting of it was televised. And you've seen the Freedom Riders, the bus being bombed, firebombed. You've seen them being beaten and so forth. And so the nation saw it. And so there was a feeling and a sympathy, particularly for the European Jews who did some marching and so forth. See, there was that feeling. And they utilized that. Just like Jay said, though, today there is no relationship. They have moved on. They are in the upper echelon. They are in the elite. They lived in different areas and different communities. You know, in fact, the reality is this, just like Nasser said, he said, when y'all left, y'all was black. But when y'all came back, y'all was white. What's up with that? You know, he didn't say that or like that, but that's the fact. These European Jews, these late converts to Judaism, about 1,000 years ago, they are the ones who dominate and control Judaism. And so then when I saw that Caucasian on Real Time with Bill Maher this past weekend, talking about all this anti-Semitism, all this, and I'm saying to myself, really? Who is the one that characterized African people that performed in blackface? Joe, what's his name? Yeah. You know, Al Jolson. Al Jolson. All these other European Jews. Who are all the other European Jews making caricatures, ridiculing and demeaning and degrading African people? Just like Jay said, or I said, the European Jews dominate and control diamond industry. There's no diamond mines in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem or in Israel, nowhere. But they are the ones who dominate and control it. So to me, when Minister Farrakhan talks about European Jews the way he does, or anybody else talks about, or myself talk about European Jews, I give less than a rat's ass about how they feel. And their supposed anti-Semitism, because really they're not Semites. They're Europeans. They're not Semites. The Palestinians are Semites. If they want to, the Palestinians really have the right of anti-Semitism against the perpetrators, the European Jews. But see, just like all other things, Brother Marcus and Jay and listeners, Europeans frame everything and they fashion it in their image and interest. They dictate what is the language, what is being stated and so forth. They dictate. That's why Europe is a continent. Europe ain't no damn continent by nobody's definition. And even they're the ones that define things. It ain't no continent by their definition. But because of their arrogance, because of how they are, they say it's a continent. They say what it is. They say this is anti-Semitism. They say it's this. They say it's that. They control the narrative. They control it.
They control the media. They control the music industry. So we get negative messages, as you said, the messages, the music. As I was listening to the music back in the 70s and the 60s, it was a totally different music and message than what they put now. Now, see, again, that's the Jew again. You know, so there was an article, you know, written by Benjamin Franklin. If you Google it, find that article that he wrote about these Jews. I think it's Benjamin Franklin. Like, one of them founding fathers wrote an article. Anytime you want to get them off your back, just go find that article. Answer here.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of areas. I never forget, there was a delicatessen, Benjamin's, Jewish delicatessen on the east side of Milwaukee. Me and my friend, Brother Muhammad, we went in there to, buy some corned beef or whatever we did. But there was a mural that they had on that wall. It's not there anymore. It's been gone. This was some many years ago that we, probably in the 80s, early 80s, and it's been gone. And basically what the mural said is that in all facets of life, we are involved. We are handling, we are dictating, we are maneuvering, we are moving in all facets of life. We have a hand in it. We have a direction in it. Politics, finance, entertainment. You know, when you look at all those images, from Mantan Moreland and Step and Fetch It, European Jews. Yep. European Jews. Yep. And that's what I'm saying. They have the gall, the mitigated gall, to be sensitive about somebody making a so-called, quote, anti-Semitic, or bringing something to attention by saying, like Ilhan Omar. Only thing she said is all about the money. Follow the money. I just read to you the military deal that was struck between the United States and Israel, and why that deal was struck, and why Israel has to play that part in the Middle East, and why they would give them that money. But yet she's being vilified. There's many people trying to call for her ouster. And she's bringing a lot of things to the attention. And what we need to do as brothers and sisters is to support her and make sure the so-called Congressional Black Caucus supports her. Even when Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats want to vilify her or call her into question or make her retract what she says. Repudiate a fire kind. Repudiate these. You know, we have another call. I'm going to take this call. 267. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshi, Sister Sasami.
Sister Sasami.
How are you? And how are the brothers on the call?
Oh, they're doing fine, Brother Jay. Sister Sasumi says, hey.
Hotep, my sister.
And of course.
Hotep, Brother Jay. How are you?
And, doing good, my sister.
And of course, Brother Marcus, who is in Memphis.
And yes, Brother Marcus, down in my former neighboring state. How are you, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing great, sister. Good to hear from you.
It's very nice to be able to continue being connected to all of you. I thank you, Brother Oshi, for having this platform. Because we definitely have to remain connected so we can learn from each other and hopefully really start to move towards solutions for the problems that we have, which are the same everywhere we are.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And you're right. And that's why every Monday and Wednesday and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time here in the States, I'm adamant, I'm sincere, I'm committed, I'm dedicated to trying to help free our minds. and I'll be trying to. I'll do this till they take me out of here. Believe me, you know.
Right, right. And I had to chime in from De Beers land. And don't get me wrong, I think you know Botswana has a lot of positive things, but definitely, as you know, as most of you know, diamonds are the number one. Well, that's the number one mineral for the country.
For where? For which country?
For Botswana.
Oh, okay. In Botswana. Ah, okay. Well,
yes.
Well, yes. The number one import of Israel. The number one import of Israel is diamonds. The number one export of Israel is diamonds. They control the diamond industry in the world. Israel.
Right, the De Beers and Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I mean, I worked
yes.
for this company in 91 to 97. I came home. I didn't think I'd have to go back to the United States, but that's who I actually worked for one of the hospitals.
Okay.
This De Beers Botswana partnership that they have. It's called the Botswana. But because what they did was, their so-called independence was in 1966. And it was only after that they discovered diamonds. Although, I don't believe anything we hear really from these people when it comes to history.
I don't either.
You know, they say that's when the diamonds were discovered in Botswana. But I think, you know, who knows? With all that was going on in South Africa, they were probably still, getting diamonds. But I know the country was not developed at all because, I mean, I was born somewhere at the beginning of in the 1960s. So when it became independent, I was around 4 or 5. But I was able to see the country develop throughout my life.
Good.
There were hardly any roads, no infrastructure, nothing. And Botswana now boasts, amongst the best roads in the continent.
Oh, really?
And I can kind of say that because I've been to Ghana. I mean, Ghana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, other than those countries, I haven't been to any other African, but their roads are excellent. I mean, you can travel across the country.
Is that right?
Roads that are, and these were all developed since independence. The school system, which unfortunately we need to reform that because it's all, mostly European. They have some that they call, based on the local language.
Right.
But it's heavily influenced by the Europeans. And now with all the homosexuality and all the other perversions coming in, we're going to start seeing effects of that. We're seeing effects of that.
Sure.
But everything was developed since independence. By De Beers, the Oppenheimers, they've been here for many years since independence. The diamond would be mined here and then shipped to the UK for all types of processing, including the final product.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, that Botswana kept insisting that the diamond needed to stay, it had to stay in the country to the finished product.
Had to stay in Botswana?
And they were able to move. Right, so they were able to move it back from the UK to Botswana. So that it didn't have to go from underground to the UK. It stayed in the country and it's processed till the final rock is, till they're done with it. And then, whatever else they do with it. I probably can't go into all those details.
Well,
right now.
Let me just say this.
Which was a good thing for the country.
Yes,
because
it is.
Provides employment and then they're able to have a little better control. I still think they need to review this 51%, 49% partnership with De Beers. But that's what they did, in 1967,
So what, Botswana has 51% and De Beers has 49%?
Correct.
Okay. But, the other thing is...
It's still better than nothing, but it's, I think if you own, if this is yours, they should have less. I think with time, they need to review these contracts.
And no doubt.
They have enough people they've educated who know how to take care of the product. I knew some of the people who were involved in the mining because they sent a lot of people out to go and study, and a lot of them were fighting for localizing some of the management positions in the mine, like the metallurgy and the engineering and, all kinds of positions. They were able to do it, but I'll tell you what they would do. Every time they did that, all the benefits would be reduced, you'd have now the mine manager who's a local person, but all of a sudden all these other benefits that came along with that position would be reduced. So I think our people in general know, I mean, I really believe our people know something is wrong. What we need, Brother Oshie, what we really need is for our people to be educated and their minds cleared so that they know exactly who their enemy is.
I say.
Because they know right now, they're aware that there are all kinds of diseases coming up, you know, and I get to listen to the program that comes on in the morning on local radio stations, a government station. But most of the people that call in are people who are at home. They might be maybe middle-aged, you know, or elderly people, some younger people who are not at work or calling from work. They talk about different issues that are affecting the population, like, you know, the local people. And a lot of them ask the question, you know, why are we having, we never had these diseases. We never had such and such. How come we're having these problems now? The answer that's not being given to the people is that's because you've got the Europeans here who brought all these problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's who your enemy is. You know,
because right.
It's highly integrative. You know, I've, you know, it's easy to find your space,
mm-hmm.
you know, with your people that you associate with, and you don't have to really be around these Yorugus except just once in a while. So that's what I like about it. You know, it's not that it's perfect.
Right. No, I agree with you.
Issues.
Right.
We still have issues. But
no doubt.
Nothing like, you know, that's why I would highly encourage our brothers and sisters in the diaspora. And I know Brother Marcus is huge on repatriation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no peace. There's no healing. There's nothing you can do living in the land of the enemy. And
that's
I'm
right.
telling you what. Lots of parts of Africa, just open up minds, and, you know, I think if people can do it, just pack your bags and go, come back home.
Yeah.
You just will not find as much peace and opportunities to really live your full life. The other thing I'd like to share, and I know it's almost getting to the end, this morning I was listening to another program on the radio that I just happened to run into it when I got into my car. Because my biggest concern before I came back home permanently was all these genetically modified items, foods, so-called foods, organisms, and how much they may have been used. And they sure do. The first time I saw a papaya that had, you know, hardly a seed. You know, when you cut up a papaya, the first thing you see is just those beautiful black seeds packed with seeds inside. There were about four or five seeds in there. And I thought, you know, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I recently
right.
found grapes that still have seeds. In the U.S., I couldn't find
no, you, grapes. No, you can't find grapes with seeds.
Yeah, in fact, I get these, and then I keep seeds of yeah. every single thing, and I tell everybody, you need to get these and save those seeds because, you know, in the next few years, we're not going to be able to find anything with seeds. And there's enough land here that in the future,
right.
we can grow things that are organic using these seeds that are slowly being
right.
Eroded
and that's
destroyed.
The thing. Africa has everything it needs to sustain itself, and it could feed the world, except Africa
exactly.
is being raped. Africa is being
exploited. Exactly.
And it continues to be.
Exactly.
Let me get some words from Marcus and then from Jay so we can close out of here. So Sister Susumi, hold on. Just hold on.
Okay. Thanks.
Brother Marcus.
Yeah.
You some closing room?
Yes.
Sister
Susumi. Good hearing from you. Botswana is a beautiful country. I saw some videos, you know, from a brother who went down there. It's a beautiful country. Cost of living, well, food is real cheap, though. I noticed that down there, food. So I think the government subsidized the food, so it's cheap. It's a beautiful country. And, you know.
You know, they do, yes. And I hate to interrupt you, Brother Marcus. One of the things I didn't realize, you know, they got into, like, credit cards and debit cards, they're a consumer-based society, like they turn all of us. But I'll tell you, I was shocked. I went into a store that's owned by local people, but the government has a program for disabled people to have, like, you know, those debit cards they have in the U.S., and you can go in and buy your food with that. They have that here.
Wow.
For their local, you know,
right.
indigent, you know, local people. Go ahead, Brother Marcus. Sorry about that.
Just good hearing from your sister. I wish I was here in Africa with you, but, you know,
Well, the invitation is open to my brothers and sisters. If you want to come and just check it out, we've got land. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to just, you know, say things because I'm biased towards Africa. But I'm telling you what, it'll never be the same as living in the I'm going to say this really quick because I think you'll all like what I'm about to say. The program I had this morning, there's a young man, they call him Professor, but they've been doing research on indigenous plants and finding out the medicinal benefits and so forth. I don't believe, you know, my view is we go to the traditional healers that have been doing this for years. And I've met some, a couple of them, because I'm just curious, since I'm in the healthcare field. And I'll tell you what, they're doing the research with the university. But the problem is then they take it away to Europe, America, and they start, you know, encapsulating all these things. And we never get the benefit. So my main goal is, you know, save all seeds so that you'll be able to grow your own food. So, you know, get to really learn more about traditional herbs and healing methods. So that we don't have to rely on, and then eating healthy.
Ashe.
Anyways, I'll stop there. Cause
okay.
But other, you know, really, really great. And I'm going to just say how to pronounce my name because it's a difficult one, but it is an African name, a lot European, Sesami. So just wanted to say that because I know it's a tough one for everyone.
Sesami.
Thanks so much, Brother Oshi.
Thank you. All right. Sesami. All right.
So, yes, perfect.
All
yes,
right,
perfect.
Sister Sesami.
Thank you.
Brother Jay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sister Sesami. Jay.
All I can say is let's just stay on point. Understand that the Yoruba is your enemy and that you have to move forward in the base of trying to find sovereignty and that this cracker is never going to do nothing for you, man, but take from you. He's never going to be a life-giving human being towards you. And just don't be fooled by it, man. Just put him in a place of if you don't have to deal with him, don't deal with him. You know what I mean? And Negroes don't want to deal with him, cut them off too. You know what I mean? Because they act and behave like enemies for our people. And I'm just glad to see that the sister is back home doing the necessary things to make her life and her family life better. And I can guarantee from listening to my beautiful sister, she don't really miss America much.
Oh, no. Brother Jay, I'll tell you what, those were too many years of torture. And that's why I feel for my brothers and sisters there. You see, because as much as I'm here acting locally, my heart is everywhere where African people are. And I know what it's like. In fact, I really don't know because I don't have the generational experience of being tortured by those
rebels. Nah, but you hear me, sister. Always
you
remember
know, but I've been
that
long...
you lived here long enough, and thank God you one of the few who figured out what the cracker was and how the cracker act and how the cracker behaved, and you didn't become under the spell of the cracker. That's the best thing that you did for your ancestors.
I thank Dr. Khalid Muhammad for that. Dr. Khalid Muhammad, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I heard him at 16 years of age before I came to the U.S., and that changed everything. So keep talking, brothers.
Right on.
Because somebody's going to hear that message, right. And it'll change their life.
I appreciate it. Listen, brother.
I see that your brother and your former co-host show is coming on.
Right, so I got to go.
He's using the Twilight Zone music.
That's right. I love it, don't you?
Talk to you later.
Listen, I got to go. I love you because I got to get the brother on in this program. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants that they can't do without and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Isante Sane means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodio. Peace, family.